You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to our day two preview of the Cheltenham Festival and the Final Furlong podcast. Great to have your company on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on YouTube. I'm Emmett Kennedy, joined by George Gorman and Adam Mills as we take you through our best bets for every single race on day two, beginning with the Gallagher Brothers Novice Hurdle.
Listen, I've got £87 million in the bank. I've got a Rolls Royce. I've got three Stalkers. I'm about to go on the board at Manchester City. I'm part of the greatest band in the world. Am I happy with that? No, I'm not! I want more!
Ballyburn is now a heavy odds-on favourite. 7-4 on is the general price. Adam Mills, talk us through your thoughts on the Gallagher Novice Hurdle. How far does Ballyburn win by?
Probably quite a way. I'm really struggling to take him on. I certainly wouldn't want to be a layer at 4-7. His win at Leopardstown was pretty flawless. And aside from that, you're kind of struggling. For me, the Lawlers of Nace form, I can almost put a line through. I just don't trust that race as a piece of form. So I'm really struggling to see how anything gets to Ballyburn. I don't give the British a hope, so I'd imagine Ballyburn's going to win. I will give Ilat L'Antique a little bit of credit that he isn't likely to win this race, because even if he was in front with 5 yards to go, he might well pull himself up. He doesn't look the most genuine in front. But in the Lawlers and Ace, he travelled by far the best up until the final furlong, when he just doesn't want to battle. So I think this race might actually suit him, because the likelihood is Ballyburn is going to be on his quarters from the time they're turning for home. And if he's got a horse to follow, I think he'll keep going. I think he's probably the second best, but it's not an original start. But the 4-7 favourite is probably fair price.
I completely agree. I think it's almost pointless trying to take on Ballyburn, really. He's got the best form. He was Willie Mullins' best bumper horse last season. I know Factofile finished second in the champion bumper, but this is the one we were told last year was the best bumper horse. This is the one he wanted to take to Cheltenham. And Ronnie Bartlett said no, wasn't going. So he went for the easier race at Punchestown. Tully Hill took in the grade one. And look at that bumper form. He's beaten Slade Steel, Dancing City. They've all come out and won graded races this season. He's a machine. I think there is a bet in this race, George. I think it's the straight forecast. Ballyburn to beat Predator's Gold. Don't think Predator's Gold can win, but he can definitely finish second. What's your angle into the race?
I think people are probably sick to death of hearing about Ballyburn by this point, aren't they, in the preview circuit? But he just wins, doesn't he? My way into the race is probably Handstands. Like, he's unbeaten in three novice hurdles and a point-to-point. He looked firmly on the upgrade when he beat Django Bay and the Sydney Banks last time out. On RPRs, he's got another £10 to find with the main contenders, excluding Ballyburn. But he's really improving fast. He improved £5 on RPRs from his first to his second run, and then £10 on his second to his third run. So it's not out of the realms of possibility he could step up another 10 here. All his wins have come at around this trip, and he's currently, is he down to 12s now? I think he's still... not sure it's an each way bet with Ballyburn in there, but maybe each way without or place only. Maybe a mix of the two would be my way into it. I did have another fancy at a massive price in the each way without market, Peaky Boy. I think the owner confirmed he's not going here. the other day, but that's very fluid. The owner could change his mind from minute to minute. So I'd just say he actually beat Saturday's winner Champagne Twist in a maiden hurdle over course and distance, having received a wind up in the summer. Not run since, but he's fit and he's well. His inexperience will probably put people off, but he's currently 66s. If he did show up here, I could see him running into a fourth or a fifth, which, like I say, maybe each way without market would be the way I'll play him.
To win this race, 9 of the last 10 winners had an RPR of at least 154. That will narrow this down to Ill Atlantique, Predator's Gold and Ballyburn. 9 of the last 10 winners were rated within £5 of the top rated RPR horse in the race. No horse fulfills that criteria. Ballyburn is on 164. The closest to him is Predator's Gold on 156. Ballyburn is away and gone and should be in all multiples, to quote Gavin Lynch on the Final Furlong podcast last week. Is Factophile away and gone in the Brown Advisory Novices Chase Grade 1? If he was going for the Turners, there's a lucky 63 hidden in my bedroom that would be paying an absolute fortune. Assuming everything else was to come off, but every other horse in that is now a significantly shorter price for their respective targets. And he was, what, 10 to 1, George, when we put him up? Oh, man. If only Grange Clare West hadn't gotten injured. Anyway, Factophile, 5 to 4 on. Stay Away Faye, Cheltenham winner last year, 11 to 4. Monty Starr, 9 to 2. George, let's go with you first of all. Is Factophile a good thing for Mullins?
Factophile is the most likely winner. He's Gaelic Warriors non-completion didn't do anything to diminish what he did for me last time. I did very well to keep tabs on him in the jumping and the galloping departments for most of the race, regardless of the fact that Gaelic Warrior didn't finish. But for a horse having, was it his third run ever over obstacles of any kind? My only concern is he can jump right at times. You could say last time he was just following Gaelic Warrior, but he did do it in his 17-length route of Zanahir as well. That added to the fact that he's attempting to go from 2-mile bumpers to 3-mile chases in under a year is a big ask. And look, I think he'll win, but he couldn't have my money at 5-6. Let's do a quick run through some of the other main contenders. I think Broadway Boy should be in the National Hunt Chase. Stay Away Faye, it boils down to whether you think Factophile is anywhere near as good as Capodanno, and I think he is. Monty Starr is a really, really nice horse, but he lacked tactical speed in the Albert Bartlett, and I think he will do again in this. He'll be a lovely horse for staying handicapped, or maybe a bit better in the future. I landed with an each-way play on Sandor Kagan. He's probably below the standard required to win it, but he's been solid this season. He's finished second in the Grade 2 and Grade 3 on his last two starts. Last year, he was third in the Albert Bartlett behind Stay Away Faye by a length and a quarter. He's a thorough stayer, reliable jumper, and I think he'll probably outrun his odds at 20 to 1.
I like that, George. I said this in the previous show. I don't like taking a short price about a horse at Cheltenham who has to do something for the first time. Exactly. The Factophile has to prove he stays. He almost certainly will. He's very, very talented, but is he going to stay 3 miles on what is now soft ground? It was raining at Cheltenham today. Ella McNeil's not far from Cheltenham. She was saying that in the Day One preview podcast. He'd be an absolute stone cold solid moral in the Turners. I can't back him at this price. I'd love to tell you he's going to go and win. He probably will. But he's raced twice in an undulating track. He's been beaten both times. He's raced 4 times in a flat track. He's won 3. Things like that, you can't dismiss. He is the most likely winner, but I think you have to look away from him. A couple of stats for you. You need to have an adjusted RPR of at least 165. That's 9 of the last 10 winners. That brings this down to 3 runners. Factophile, Grey Dawning, Stay Away Faye, which means this is between him and Stay Away Faye. And I think you have to be with Stay Away Faye. 7 winners have previously run at the festival, 4 of them in the potato race. 1 finished 4th, 1 pulled up, and 1 won. I will take Stay Away Faye to just about have a little bit too much on the day. He doesn't jump as well as Factophile. Factophile jumps out to the right, but is quicker over his fences. Stay Away Faye hangs in the air, and that's thanks to Paige Fuller's race IQ data. That's an issue. I'll take the 11-4 about Paul Nichols and Harry Cobden to come out on top. Adam, are you with Factophile, or are you taking him on as well?
Well, when we did the preview of Paul Ferguson, I was with him, but the more I've looked at this race, the more I don't want to be, especially at 5-6. I mean, you have to just look at his bare form, ignore the hype and the visual kind of scenario. He got beat by American Mike. No one is saying, oh, American Mike's got a chance in this. Yeah, he got beat by American Mike. He's beaten Zanahir, who's a lovely horse, but not quite up to the top grade. And then he's won what is effectively a walkover, albeit very impressively at the DRF. But on that evidence alone, I don't think he should be odds on. Now, he is by far the most likely winner. He's certainly by far the most likely improver. I think Stay Away Faye will run a nice race, but I just think no matter what the trip, the old course, he's just too slow. It takes him too long to get up to top gear. Got to be in front of Factor File coming down the hill, because if it comes to a turn of foot from the back of the third last, there's only one winner. I'm going to go with Monty Starr. I think Monty Starr has improved for chasing. I think that run with three-card Bragg was pretty impressive. And I just think he's slightly overlooked because this has been built around the Factor File circus. I'm not too worried about the sort of the pace with him. I think there is a bit of speed there if he gets the right set of circumstances. I think he'll handle the soft ground. I can see this race sort of developing into a real war of attrition. And as they come down the hill, I'd be worried about Stay Away Faye over 4 miles, let alone three. Factor Five is an unknown. I think Monty Starr will run a big race. I think he's the value, but it wouldn't be the strongest opinion because I just think this race is, I'm reluctant to say a bunch of plodders with Factor File, but that's effectively what it looks like to me, that these are some pretty slow staying chases of the future. I'd imagine there'll be three or four of these runners with an eye on a Grand National in a year or two's time. So if Factor File proves too quick and can keep himself in contention, fair enough. But I thought Monty Starr has been overlooked. I think that form with three-card Bragg is really impressive, and I'll take a chance.
In the last 17 years, there's only been one winning French bred of the Brown Advisory. Factor File is a French bred horse. Decide for yourself whether or not you want to buy into that, but there's enough there at odds on to go and take him on. I think he's a wonderful horse. Again, think he'd be a good thing for the Turners, but that's not the race they're going for. Carl Cup, Sam Majest for the Mullins camp and the McManus team. 9-2 favourite, built by Ballymore. Put up on the Final Furlong podcast with Gavin Lynch last week. Gavin, it turns out, big fan of this horse as well. Knew all about him, including not to be concerned about the ground for him. He is not a horse who needs it a bog, although he might very well get it. And since that episode, he has been punted from 12-1 to 10-1, now 7-1 for the Martin Brazel camp. The gamble is on. Langer Dan, 7-1 as well. Adam, we'll kick it off with you this time. Who do you like for the Carl Cup?
I'd be delighted to see Langer Dan get beat. I have no money on him. I'm certainly going to lay him, but I don't think it's a good look for racing. And I will take exception to what Dan Skelton's interview on yesterday just seemed to me like, just call it what it is. We've been trying to get his mark down. I don't like it. It's not a great
look. What did he say anyway, yesterday, Adam?
There was an interview on, I think it was either ITV or Racing TV. I saw a little clip of it on Twitter when it sort of came up around, oh, he's suddenly come back to himself in the last couple of weeks. And I thought, oh, I can't be having it. Just be honest. Yeah. If you came out at the start of the season and said our only aim is to get back down to his winning mark, fair enough. Then punters would know where they are. It's not a great look. Anyway, that's my rant over Langer Dan. Over built by Ballymore is the obvious one. He's won a couple of races where he's been extremely well placed. I think he's won those races with loads in hand, as the 12 length winning margins would suggest. But I also think those races were hand picked with a view that we can win the races to get him into the race, but the handicapper's not really going to have a true handle on his ability. So he'd be one that interests me. My main fancy for this race hasn't been declared. There's no sign of the Devil's Coachman, but I am going to put up another one. I thought De Capo Glory was interesting for Paddy Butler. I've been looking through his form. He was third in the Boyne Hurdle last time. That really wouldn't have suited him. The race had a finishing speed percentage of 112%. He travelled really nicely into that. He just didn't have the speed to go with Hidden Valley Lake, but he kept on at the finish. If you watch that race, everyone's looking at Galvin running on into fourth. But actually, De Capo Glory's battling on and he's matching Galvin, so he's not being outstayed. I think this truer test will really suit him. And in his novice hurdle form, it's pretty good. He was 8 lengths behind El Fabiolo in a novice hurdle. He was 5 lengths behind Phil Dorr, 4 lengths behind Grange Clare West, and he's beaten Ashtree Meadow. That's good enough to suggest that he might be capable of playing a hand in this, despite the fact he's going to have quite a big weight. If he runs here instead of the stayers, I thought he was a fair bit of each-way value, but Built by Ballymore looks the most likely winner.
Music to my ears. Built by Ballymore. The only question is how far. Now, if George Gorman likes the Martin Brazel horse as well, I'm going to have to go back in again for a third time. George Gorman, who do you like in the Carl Cup?
Slightly too many unknowns were built by Ballymore for me. It's not that I don't think he's going to win. It's just not my style to go in on one so much based on reputation. rather than what we've necessarily seen. Like, obviously, very impressive for last fight, but it's just not my kind of bet at his price. Like, it's no slight on either of you two. It's just not the sort of bet I like to have. But Langerdan, you've got to appreciate, whether we like what they're doing with him or not, there's a good chance he wins. So if his price twitches morning off, I will probably be having a bet on him. But just beware, what?
You putting up feckin' Langerdan, you langer.
Thought it cut out. So I'd be backing him if his price twitches, but you've got to bear in mind a lot of people who backed him last year will be just backing him again. There's a slight chance of like a false gamble. You just don't know who's backing him. If there's a persistent gamble on him, I'll be backing him. But my main play will be Bally Adam. He gets here off a pound lower than when finishing 4 1/4 lengths, 5th in the county last year. He won well over 2 mile 4 back in July at Wexford. In the second and third, Hubrisco and Joyo Masha won 2 starts later. A return to the festival at that trip must have been in mind since. He's been to the festival 3 times, Cheltenham 4 times. His festival efforts on the new course have resulted in 2/5 in the county by 4 1/2 lengths and 6 lengths. But although it was a long time ago, by far his best effort at Cheltenham was his second in the 2021 Supreme on the old course. Yeah, he's top weight, but he shows up here. He's reliable and he's a pound lower than he was last year. And we can hope he can improve for that for the step up in trip. 16-1 is too big for an each way play for me.
You made a good case from the other night too in the handicap special. I said it on that show, I'll say it again. I think Brazil is very, very interesting, and he continues to be well backed since that handicap special. He was 20s when we were talking about him then. He's 14-1 now. So we'll find out more from Katie for our day 3 preview with 6-time champion tipster Paul Jacobs. I'm with Built by Ballymore. His brother Dancing on My Own won at Cheltenham earlier in the season. Dancing on My Own will be going for the grand annual on the day as well. He's owned by the CEO of Ballymore, and when he was with Pat Doyle, that's when they christened him this name. I doubt very much you're going to give a horse the title of your company as their name unless you think they're going to be quite good. And the rumor was this was a potentially very exciting young horse for Pat Doyle. Didn't quite happen in the early days when he was transferred to Martin Brazel. Well beaten behind Deep Cave, who's since been switched to France. Adam would know more about him. Battered in a bumper behind Western Diego. No match at all for Slade Steel, but has come alive since December. Bolted up at Limerick and then bolted up again at Punchestown, winning by the same margin in both. Gavin Lynch talked to you about the times of those races and how that actually means the ground was not that bad and that he'd handle better ground at Cheltenham if he needs it. Martin Brazel has had the runner-up in this race for the last 2 years. It's all there for you. Built by Ballymore is clearly a plot horse. He's clearly been lined up for a big one. This would appear to be the race. Let's go. Sam Agest, fascinating runner. Willie Mullins has won this race, but he's won from 47 runners since 2010, even. I could use my mouth words quickly. Shall I try that again? He's won from 47 runners since 2010. See? I can actually speak. To the Queen Mother Champion Chase, where Willie Mullins definitely will be winning this. El Fabiolo, the long odds-on favourite, 9-4 on. John Bonn, 100-30. How could you possibly back him? One, with the form of Nicky Henderson's yard and the questions over that, and two, with how he jumped the last day, and three, with how he was jumping in that schooling session the other day. No chance. Adam Mills, what are your thoughts on the Queen Mother Champion Chase?
Favourite wins move on would be my sort of suggestion with it. I can't, even before the mistake and everything that happened last time, I just wouldn't be sold now. I watched back last year's Arkle. There's not half a length between them, and John Bond was unlucky. El Fabiolo had his number from a long way out. At first, I think I'd forgive him because, you know what, he made a shuddering mistake. And actually, if he'd been pulled up, no one would have thought anything more of it. But then having got back into the race and got to Elixir de Nuts, the fact he didn't even go by Elixir de Nuts. So I would say that mistake probably cost him 10 lengths in terms of momentum. Would you not expect John Bond to be 10 lengths better than Elixir de Nuts? I think I probably would. I'm not convinced. Nicky's yard form, who knows? But even so, El Fabiolo should win. For me, trying to find an each-way angle into this is really difficult. Edward Stone made all at Newbury, but I wonder really whether that was just a case of look at what else was in the race. You know, Amarillo Sky was coming back on a huge break. Boot Hill was in the race. I think Fernando Silva was in there as well. Nothing else was going to make it, so they may as well do it. Alan King is not known for doing this. I can't imagine he'll do it again, because in this race, you've got Elixir de Nuts, who Joe Tizard said the other day will be pretty positive on. Editor G, if he runs, they'll be pretty positive on. You know, even if Edward Stone does go forwards and takes on one of those two as well, or both of them, he's just going to set the race up. So they've really got no choice with Edward Stone, I think, than to try and drop in behind the early pace, and that will finish his chances as he did last year. If you really wanted to have a bet in this race, which I probably won't, but if you wanted to, the value is probably to play Captain Guinness, because I don't think he will be ridden forward. I think Captain Guinness will just get one of those Rachel Blackmore rides of just drop in. Just drop in and see what pieces you pick up. There are several here who are going to want to get involved. When Nico rides John Bond, he's got to give him a clear sight of his fences, so he can't be too far back on John Bond. The El Fabiolo, realistically, all Paul Townend will probably be doing is just looking to see where John Bond is, just to make sure. But I think Captain Guinness will get a nice quiet ride, and when all the others have shot their bolt at the second last, he might come through into second. But I shall be making a cup of tea on Wednesday afternoon. I don't think there's a bet in this race, really, at the current prices.
I'd be very interested in the straight forecast on El Fabiolo to be Captain Guinness and El Fabiolo to be Gentleman to Me. I don't think John Bond will get around. Not with the way Nicky's horses are running at the moment. I would regard it as a stain on his ability that he couldn't beat Elixir the Nuts the other day. And yeah, I get it. He's made a horrible mistake. And then he somehow managed to get back into contention. It was amazing that he could do that. He still didn't win the race. He's hanging all over the track. And that quote from Patrick Mullins being asked, who's the best horse you ever rode? Dovan. Could have left it at that. But he elaborated and said the reason he probably didn't make it in open company is because his pedigree just didn't hold up. It wasn't there in the first place and it just didn't hold up. Why would Patrick Mullins say that when they're going to war with Dovan's full brother, John Bond? I think that's very interesting. I'd be very worried about John Bond. Gentleman to Me, he's a really good horse in his day. He's going to be up there on the front end. He needs to bounce back, but he's run four times in the back of a break of 36 to 59 days, 38 days in this case. He's won twice. He's won twice at this time of year. Goes well on left-handed undulating tracks. Has won on soft. Has placed on soft. I can see him plugging on and being second best. But the most obvious one is clearly Captain Guinness. So straight forecast, El Fabiolo beats either of those two. I think with Gentleman to Me, you'll get a reasonable price. And that's how I'd play it.
Copy, paste. El Fabiolo's, yeah, people are trying to make out Edward Stone going flat out in front's a new element to him, but he ran against Dice at Dynamo about three or four times. This is going to be nothing new. I can see Edward Stone just putting himself under too much pressure, not finishing his race off. The pace might put more pressure on John Bond, making mistakes, sets up nicely for Captain Guinness, ridden from off the pace, to come through and do what we call in racing a bit of nicking. A horse nowhere near good enough to win, so you ride for second or third. Because in racing, you can very easily cost yourself second by trying to win, if that makes sense, which is what Edward Stone's likely to do. That's not to say you are literally riding your horse to its best possible finishing position by not riding it to win, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a murky exercise. I know people here that go, well, you're not trying to win the race. You're like, no, you're trying to do the best for your horse. But currently he's 16-1. I'll probably go for a big place only bet on Captain Guinness. And a small straight forecast, El Fabiolo and Captain Guinness. Just a couple of stats for people. Captain Guinness has finished in the first three in 13 out of 20 chase starts. And he's finished placed on both his chase starts at the festival, second to Shishkin in the Arkle, second to Energumene in the Champion Chase. I think he's nailed on for a place here at a big price.
I agree. To the cross country, where the betting is headed by Delta Work, three-time winner. Well, I should say, no, it's not. Delta Work is second favourite for the race he's won for the last 2 years. Manila Indo is now the 15-8 favourite, the former Gold Cup winner for Henry de Bromhead and Rachel Blackmore. Coco Beach, fascinating runner in this race. 4-1 for Gordon Elliott. Galvin just screwed by the ground. 5-1 shot. Foxy Jacks for Mouse Morris is 12s. And that's the key issue here, George. Galvin needs good ground and he is not going to get it. The cross country going currently is heavy. And that will play massively against Galvin, who ran a blinder the other day over hurdles in a grade two. That made him very, very interesting for this race in my mind, but he's not going to get his going.
No, exactly. And actually, my initial feeling was, well, if the rain keeps coming, Delta Earth will go favourite, but I'm not sure he will, because it also improves Coco Beach's chance the more it rains, and it also decreases Galvin's chance. So I wonder if in the betting, those horses are just going to keep borrowing points off each other rather than actually any of them surpassing Manella Indo in the betting. But yeah, I'm with Manella Indo. He's not the horse he was, but he's still performing to a fairly high level. Back in October, he won a grade three at Punchestown. He seemed to enjoy the change of scenery over cross-country fences when he was 5.5 lengths, fourth to late night pass over this course and distance. Rachel was said to come in absolutely beaming that day. Like, she'd had a whale of a time, and he was conceding £20 that day. I think in a race where a lot of his rivals are showing more aggression than he is, he's probably the safest option. He's definitely going to improve for that experience the first time cross-country and get to compete here off level weight. So I think he just wins. If you were looking for an each-way poke, I do like Foxy Jacks. He started his cross-country career pretty unimpressively with two non-completions over course and distance, including in this race last year. However, he got the hang of it in November. He beat Late Night Pass, who then won a cross-country race the following month off £3 higher. Just interesting because this race is a non-handicap and there's so few cross-country races. You don't often get a direct like form boost like in these races because they're all running over hurdles and things in between. That is a direct form boost for Foxy Jacks. His mark of 147 leaves him with a bit of work to do with the best of these, but liking for these fences makes a big dent in that. Like, there's always a horse that shouldn't be there on ratings that finishes second or third or fourth in these races. And 14-1, I'd take a little swing on him. He did have an entry in the Potemps, but I'm pretty sure he's been taken out that now. So all steam, all guns blazing for the cross country.
Okay, Adam Mills, who do you like for the cross country?
I can see the case of Manella Indo, of course I can, but I'm just not sure I'd want to take him that short. It's very hard to find an angle in this race when it's the off level weights. Galvin, I'd be surprised if he even runs. If the ground on the cross-country course is as heavy as forecast, do they really risk the rest of his season to run here? Delta Work hasn't been the same horse this year. I thought his recent prep run was devoid of any life, really, and I wouldn't be overly keen on backing him. I think Coco Beach is probably the most likely winner if it keeps raining. I think Coco Beach just wants a real trip, but I'm going to take a swing on this race because I don't really like it, but I'm just going to have a massive play at 40-1 on Fame After the Glory. He's 40s. He's got a mountain to find on the official figures, but my angle with backing him each way is there are quite a few ahead of him in the betting who I'd be quite prepared to take on. The first one I'll take on is Statler. Fame After the Glory was 17 lengths ahead of Statler at Punchestown, yet Statler is a third of his price. Well, that's wrong. And Statler was so bad that I think it was whoever the commentator was for the Punchestown race highlighted how badly he was running. So I can put a line through Statler. Foxy Jacks, I'm not entirely sure on really whether he wants this absolute dour slog this race he'd like to develop into. Delta Work looks out of form. Galvin doesn't run. There's a chance that one of the also-rans with a really quiet ride, which is what Fame After the Glory generally seems to get. He was third in the handicap back on the 15th of December. He ran really well in the Banks race behind Coco Beach, given a lot to do, ran on without ever really threatening. It's one of those each-way bets that the win price should probably be 250. But I can't get that. But I think on the day, if I could get 40s or 50s, I think he's worth a small each-way play to be that kind of rag, as George said, who shouldn't be there on the figures but might just be.
Can I just say for him as well, like, my normal problem with Fame and Glories is that they don't tend to be the most like careful at their fences. And he's out of the Milan mare as well, which, like, that's a lot of character in one horse, we'd say. But this horse, he's only unseated once in 23 starts, and they're more in point to point. He's had 26 starts in total and one non-completion. So he doesn't even pull up this horse. He just finishes races, which is, when you're looking at an each way bet at a big price, that's huge. You know he's not going to blow out because he doesn't blow out. Like, I really like that.
He's a winning pointer. Time form describe him as temperamental, which I think is probably an accurate way of describing. He's got his own way of going about things. But I just think the one thing I thought with him was they're not going to get involved in any kind of battle for the lead or anything. He's going to be one of those out the back, but he will finish. And he might just get lucky. You only need one or two of these big names to underperform, and suddenly the each way value comes flooding in. So
I'd hate to see what he's like to ride at home. Because that pedigree reads like out of Paul Gas by Paul Gascoigne out of Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
Quote of the day there from George Gorman on the Final Furlong podcast. Six of the last 10 winners of this race either won or placed in a cross-country race at Cheltenham or Punchestown. Well, fame after the glory did both. He's placed at Cheltenham and Punchestown in his last two starts in cross-country races. Crucially, though, I think behind the winner of this race, Coco Beach, this is another late switch from the Gordon Elliott yard into this race that's going to usurp a better fancied stable companion, or at least a more heroic stable companion, if you like. Delta Work last minute switch to this race to usurp and lower the colours of Tiger Roll, and this fellow will now do it to Delta Work. It's the ground. The ground is key. It's currently heavy going. He's raced 11 times on heavy. He's won 5, placed 4. If you look at the Racing Post ratings, he is currently Delta Work 174. Galvin, as you say, Adam's not going to run. Statler's gone. So he's second on RPRs to Delta Work, 174 to 169. On time form, it's Delta Work 176, Cocoa Beach 174. Doesn't need to improve that much to be able to beat his stable companion. And on official ratings, he's rated higher. He's 161. Delta Works 157. He's the younger horse. Surely Jack Kennedy's going to ride him. And Jack Kennedy around the cross-country fences at Cheltenham is a fascinating development, because he doesn't ride these horses in these races. It's Jordan Gainford and Keith Donoghue who rides. But Jack Kennedy saw Cocoa Beach was entered at Punchestown in the P.P. Hogan Memorial. That race has produced two winners from that to come on and win at Cheltenham. And he asked Gordon if he could ride him, which of course Gordon said yes. So I'd imagine he's going to ride him at Cheltenham as well. Ground's in his favour. He'll stay all day. Gordon Elliott dominates this race. Irish horses dominated. I think he just wins. I'd say he'll be a lot shorter than the 4-1 he is now. It's very, very fair. All right. Johnny Henderson Grand Annual Challenge Cup. The favourite is Saint Roy for William Mullins, a 7-1 shot. Harper's Brook, Ben Pauling, Keelan Woods, 15-2. Winner last time at Sandown. Liberty Hunter, 8-1. And Madara, the horse who came over to the Dublin Racing Festival and won for the British. Will he be suited by the old course at Cheltenham, though? The Dr. Dino, he's bred for the speed. And Sophie Leach's team are in good form. Adam, what do you think of the Grand Annual?
I'm going to stick with that form. I think Madara is a really improving type. He's got bags of speed. You know, it's a big ask. It is a big ask. But I also think the way he won at the DRF was a superb performance. That's probably the best piece of individual handicap form coming in. And I think if Madara was with a more fashionable yard, shall we say, he might well be pushing for favouritism in this race. So he's one that I'd stick with. But if I like Madara, I've also got to like Path de Roux. There's a little bit of a swing at the waist of them. Now, the problem with Path de Roux is he doesn't like fences, and he does have this habit of just making jumping errors at crucial moments. But despite making jumping errors, he wasn't that fine, but far behind Madara. I think that form line suits really well. He's only got 11 stone on his back at this point. I don't like Saint Roy. I just think there's a look of like he was a classy hurdler, which he was. But when was the last time Saint Roy was even really put into a race? And I don't like this angle of running around to pick up prize money in graded races without actually getting involved in the battle. So for that reason, I wanted to try and take him on. And I just think the Madara and Path de Roux form from the DRF is the way I want to play it.
I'm going to be completely honest. I'm much more interested in the conditions races at Cheltenham. I think trying to solve these handicap puzzles is really intriguing. And from that perspective, I'm more interested, aside from the Ultima, which is a race I really like to get stuck into, and the Coral Cup, maybe the Martin Pipe, the rest of them, yeah, I'll get stuck into them. I have to for TalkSport. We're on air for every single race. I have to for this show. But you're much better off listening to what Adam and George have to say. That being said, I completely disagree. JP McManus loves this race. And he loves to line one up for it. And last year, he did that with Willie Mullins. They ran Dino Blue in this race. And she ran an absolute blinder, but it wasn't quite good enough. They've had Andy Dufresne run big races in it the last couple of years. They've had winners of this race. And Saint Roy is a horse that George, Katie, and I have been talking about all season, as this looks like a horse who's just been lined up for something. Either he's gone at the game, or he's been lined up for something. And you can back last year's Arkle third, the third place finisher to El Fabiolo, and the second place finisher to Banbridge at Aintree, at 7-1 currently. I will take that form line, Saint Roy, to win the Grand Annual. George Gorman.
Yeah, the thing that worries me in terms of the fact I haven't backed Saint Roy is the memory of Belvana, because this horse is ridden a very similar way. Luckily, this is a different Grand Annual now. It's on a different track, and it's much harder to give a horse a ride like that on the old course. But it does stick in my head a bit. But there's also no Paul Carberry around, and there never was before or will be again. Like, he's, in my opinion, the best there's ever been, never will be. But, it's a game of opinions. It won't come as any surprise to anyone who watched the handicap special. This is my knack for all the handicaps, is Liberty Hunter. Beat the now 148 rated Matata last time out on the new course, and somehow gets here off 139. His defeat of Krabili in a novice hurdle, he's now rated 140 over fences, 134 over hurdles, gives you further confidence that this mark should be well within his reach. He's won on everything from good to soft to heavy, and he's only had three starts over fences despite the fact he's an 8-year-old, so he could be open to any amount of improvement. This is, you know, we all get it, don't we? We all get the people who pop up once a year of, oh, got any tips for Cheltenham? I give them four horses. Only one of them runs on the Wednesday, and it's Liberty Hunter.
I'm liking that. Will I give you some stats, courtesy of the Racing Post? 10 of the last 10 winners, distance winner, carried no more than 11 stone 6. That's a problem for Saint Roy. Top three finish on at least one of his last two starts. 9 of the last 10 did that. That's a problem for Saint Roy. Age 9 or under, 8 of the last 10. No more than 11 runs over fences, 8 of the last 10. Officially rated 140 to 150. We're 152, but that's the Irish for you, Irish handicap. Yet to win that season, 7 of the last 10. Had run at a previous festival. He's a Cheltenham Festival winner, and he's been second in an Arkle. No more than 4 runs since August, 6 of the last 10. He has had 4 runs. This fella's been laid out for this race, Saint Roy. Just get stuck in, and we'll see you in Dubai. To the champion bumper. Oh, this is a nightmare. Jalen Dedary heads the betting, but the Nichols team, the Elliott team, and the Mullins team have no clue who their best bumper horse is. So how are we supposed to know? Jalen Dedary, 6-1. Jasmine DeVore for Willie Mullins, 6-1. Tishan for Paul Nichols, 7s. They've also got Quebecois, who Ella McNeil owns and was really talking up on the previous show. Romeo Coolio, massive hype horse, 15-2. The Yellow Clay, oh, how did he not place at the DRF? Deary me. Should have finished in front of You Ought to Know. Might turn the form around 8-1. But why was he being sent off 40-1 in a race that he clearly was capable of running a big race in? George Gorman, solve the puzzle that is the Weatherby's champion bumper.
I'm not the biggest fan of this race, but I do like Jalon Dudary here. He won what looked to me a very decent bumper at Leopardstown on debut. The second was Redemption Day. He finished third in the Grade 1 bumper at the DRF. And the fact that he's had a running point, a points point and two bumper runs, the second of which was actually made into a bit of a race, I think he might just be a bit too street smart for these. The thing that will worry you is that he looks a bit like a future chaser, but he's by no risk at all. He does produce very speedy types, your Epitons, Alahos, Allegory, Devassis. I think he's still value at 6-1. And you'll be pleased to know my little each way poke is on Quebecois, very visually impressive at Exeter. And the horse that beat him in his point to point, Queensbury Boy, was also very impressive when winning his bumper under David Maxwell at Chepstow. So we can mark that up a little bit, maybe. Paul Nicholls saddled Captain Teague to be third in this race last year at a huge price. So I wouldn't let the fact, I know he was Nicholls' first string, whereas this probably comes here as Nicholls' second string, but he is capable of delivering an outsider to run very well in this race.
Yeah, very much so. And that might very well be the way to play this year's race. Adam Mills.
I really don't have a strong opinion on the bumper any year, let alone this year. But I think there are a couple of angles that I just sort of would play. I think the best British horse might well be 6 Mile Bridge for Ben Pauling. I'd be worried about the ground for him. I think his action when he won at Sandown suggests to me that the faster ground would suit him. But beat a couple of winners at Sandown. I think he'll improve. Time form give him 116p, so he's got £10 or more to find, but I thought he would run a nice race. He's shaped like he'd appreciate the old course, but if the ground goes heavy, I'd be against him. The one I thought was just a bit overpriced, and I've no idea if she's going to run or not, would be Junta Marvel. I think the fact that she ran last year, and it's been over a year, nearly a year since we saw her, means she's been a bit forgotten, but she won both starts, including that Grade 3 at the Punchestown Festival. There were 7 winners in that race. I mean, to give it some context, she was well ahead of Fun, who only finished 4th, and that also developed into a nice hurdler. So there is a bit of an angle there, and she's got a £7 mare's allowance, which in a year when there's no standout candidate, that allowance could be crucial. And I just think she's overlooked. If she'd won a Grade 3 bumper at the DRF, there's no way she'd be 20-1. I'd be more confident if I saw Jodie Townend was jocked up when the declarations come out on Monday or Tuesday, but I thought she was a little bit overpriced. If she runs, I'll probably back her, but it would be a very small stake.
It's a very small stake for me as well. I think this is a small but select team from the Mullins Yard. They're probably going to send over quite a number of runners, but Patrick was saying at the start of the season they were lighter on their bumper horses this year than they had been in previous years. He said that to me on the Fairy House Winter Festival special of the final furlong. I'd been told to watch out for Cantico from the point to points, and he got beaten at the Leopardstown Christmas meeting by Gold in the Mountains. Same thing happened with Champagne Fever, who then came out, won, and went on and won the champion bumper. This fellow won at Navan, and at the time, it wasn't a stunning performance. But in hindsight, he's won by a wide margin on heavy ground. He's won by 6 lengths. I think he's a very, very interesting runner for the Mullins team. Wouldn't necessarily expect Patrick to be on board. Wouldn't necessarily expect Paul to be on board. Wouldn't bother me in the slightest. Katie Walsh rode the winner of this race a few years ago. He's drifted from a single figure price out to 12-1. If neither of Paul or Patrick ride him, he might very well drift back out to 12s. But do not be surprised if this fella has Patrick or Paul riding them, particularly Paul, when declarations come out on Monday morning. Cantico for the Mullins camp would be my pick, but tentative at best. Everybody's guessing when it comes to the champion bumper. Best bets for day 2 of Cheltenham, and you are not allowed to say Ballyburn unless you think he's a stone-cold solid moral. Who is your best bet? Adam Mills.
Well, if I can't say Ballyburn, I should probably say El Fabiolo, but that's not much value.
Absolutely. So.
Can we have the each way double? No, I'll go with Built by Ballymore.
Each way double.
I'll go with Built by Ballymore to win the Coral Cup.
Come on.
All right. Built by Ballymore. Nap. Who would be your next best out of interest, Adam?
Next best would be Monty Starr in the Brown Advisory.
Ooh. Okay. George?
Nat would be Liberty Hunter still. I napped him 11-1 on here, I think, the other night at 8-1. He's still Nat material for me. And the next best, I'm going to go with Bally Adam each way in the Coral Cup 16s.
Okay. I'm all over Built by Ballymore. I'm even more all over him now, and I've got to go back him again. So very keen on him. I will do an each way treble built by Ballymore, Ballyburn, and El Fabiolo. Oh, yeah. Because I'm so greedy, we'll just try and steal money from the bookmakers. Because that is buying money. If built by Ballymore goes and wins, those two will win. Like, Ballyburn is going to win. El Fabiolo is going to win. And if you fancy Factor File, you got to put them in the treble. But just the Mullins good things win. I'm just not so sure Factor File is as home and hosed as some people think he is.
I thought you were going a certain way with that, Emmett. I thought you were going each way treble, built by Ballymore, Bally Adam, Bally Byrne. Surely.
Yeah, I know. Listen, if Henry's Horse wins the Coral Cup, I'll feel a bit sick, but no, I'm with Built by Ballymore there. All over Built by Ballymore there. Look, Built by Ballymore would be, yeah, he would be the nap for day two. Yeah, absolutely he is. So I'm following Adam in with him. I do think Ballyburn and El Fabiolo will both win. I did a patent for day one, so I'll do a patent for day two. Built by Ballymore, Stay Away Faye, and Saint Roy. Lads, William Mullins is gone. If this pans out in the way that most of us who are doing Cheltenham previews are saying, Willie Mullins won't just have reached the landmark, the first ever trainer in history to have reached the 100 winners landmark at Cheltenham. He'll be on his way to 110 winners with the way this is stacking up.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, at least we beat you in the rugby last night anyway.
Oh, shut up, George. I lost your connection there, George. Couldn't hear you. What a shame. I'm sure George was saying something very profound and really, really intriguing. Six-time champion tipster Paul Jacobs and Katie Young will be alongside us to preview day three. Adam is back with me to preview day four of Cheltenham. Best of luck to both of you lads. George, enjoy the Cheltenham Festival. I know you're going to be there all 4 days. You can listen to it on TalkSport 2 if you're busy, if you're working, if you're not able to get in front of the television. Don't worry, we've got you covered on TalkSport and TalkSport 2 for all 4 days. From George, from Adam, and from me, Emmett Kennedy, look after yourself and each other. Thank you for listening to the Final Frontline Podcast. We're back soon with more gravy on the way as Willie Mullins' bingo continues. Look after yourself and each other. God bless.